When Patti Smith and her band released their debut album Horses in 1975, critics quickly embraced her. Smith was among a vanguard of mostly male musicians playing experimental music in Lower Manhattan. Smith gained a reputation for her ecstatic performances, androgynous persona, and fusion of free-form poetry with three-chord rock. For this week's installment of Intersections, the Morning Edition series on artists and their inspirations, Tracy Tannenbaum spoke to the woman hailed as the godmother of punk.
In 1978, Patti Smith achieved a feat that eludes most musicians. She appealed to millions with her urgent rendition of Because the Night, a song she co-wrote with Bruce Springsteen, all without jeopardizing her membership in New York City's exclusive music underground. Patti Smith was born in Chicago 57 years ago and spent most of her childhood in rural New Jersey. In many ways, Smith was out of sync with the times. For one thing, her parents didn't benefit from the economic boom of the post-war era. Her father was a factory worker at a Honeywell plant. Frequent company strikes left the Smith family with little money for food. Her mother was a jazz singer turned waitress who helped her children through the lean times by pretending that Wonder Bread served with butter and sugar was a rare delicacy. Patti Smith stood apart in other ways. Gangly and rail thin, she fell short of the fleshier and blonder ideal of beauty of the day.
I was conscious of being different. Sometimes it bothered me a little bit, mostly because I was so tall and skinny. I was also very awkward. But I didn't really mind being different because I perceived that it was connected with creativity.
And even though she says she had no special gifts or talents of her own, Patti Smith felt a kinship with artists. One day when she was 16, she found a book by 19th-century French poet Arthur Rimbaud in, of all places, a shop across the street from the bus station in Philadelphia.
There used to be, I don't know if it's there anymore, but like one of these stores that sell like probably dirty magazines and stuff like that, but they had a bin, you know, for like a quarter or something. You could get these used paperbacks, and I found a book of Illuminations, and the word illumination, great word, beautiful face of Rimbaud, and I opened it up, and the language in it just totally seduced me, and I fell in love.
As soon as the idea of the flood simmered down, a rabbit stood in the clover and swinging flower bells, and said a prayer to the rainbow through the spider's web. Oh, priceless stones that were hiding, the flowers that were regaining their eyesight.
Arthur Rimbaud believed that the role of the poet was to jar the senses. As a teenager roaming the streets of Paris, he created imagery from dreams and drug-induced states. For Patti Smith, an outsider in high school, this 19th-century bohemian poet made the perfect secret boyfriend.
When I grew up in 1964, a lot of, like, relationship stuff was in your head anyway, even kissing and things like that. So what was the difference whether I had a crush on some boy in class who ignored me or Rimbaud who, so I could pretend he didn't ignore me.
Smith had plenty of opportunity to nourish her fantasy life. Growing up, she suffered from a variety of illnesses, including scarlet fever. During a severe bout with the flu as a teenager, Smith's mother introduced her to another companion, this one living.
She brought me this Bob Dylan record and said, I don't know who this is, but he looks like somebody you'd like. She could tell by looking at his face that I would like this person. And of course I immediately did. It immediately spoke to me and I became overjoyed to find this person. And I have been overjoyed ever since.
Our mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command.
Smith says she saw Dylan as a Rimbaudian figure whose songs were rich in poetry, politics, and substance. She started writing her own poetry and was beginning to make a name for herself in Manhattan's underground art scene. With guitarist Lenny Kaye, she gradually began experimenting with music. In 1975, the Patti Smith Band released their first album, Horses. Smith says she was trying to do for others what her artistic influences had done for her.
I was consciously trying to make a record that would make a certain type of person not feel alone. People who were like me, different ones since they were a kid. I wasn't targeting the whole world. I wasn't trying to make a hit record. I thought if 100 people liked it, that would be great.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
More than 100 did respond to Patti Smith, to the rambling poetry in her songs, and to her youthful defiance, best showcased in her reworking of the Van Morrison classic, Gloria. Despite almost no radio airplay, the album broke into the top 50 in the Billboard charts.
People say, beware, but I don't care. The words are just rules and regulations to me, me.
Patti Smith, poet laureate of punk, once wrote, "Outside society, that's where I want to be." And she found company there with Dylan and Rimbaud. Still, one of her influences hails from the mainstream. In her early days performing poetry, Patti Smith channeled Johnny Carson to put hostile audience members in their place.
A lot of guys would yell stuff, you know, like, "Get back to the kitchen." And I always, like, accessed Johnny Carson and threw lines right back at them. Johnny Carson was the human parachute. He could bail out of any situation with a great one-liner.
Smith's one regret was that she never made it to the show.
The great thing is I have, like, sat at his desk. I have one of his pencils. And I saw his parking space, so life is good.
Patti Smith's new album, Trampin', is due out this month. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Tannenbaum in Philadelphia.
There's music from Patti Smith's new CD on npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.